So good to see all of you here. I don't know about to you, but to me, last Sunday seemed a long time ago. Having no Wednesday night service reminds me what they say, 7 days without church makes 1 week, and that's W-E-A-K. So I bet you're ready to be filled up, aren't you? Week. I told our African brothers, I was glad to see some African clothes. If I'd known that was coming, I wore mine. Glad to have them here. Amen. We was discussing on the way to church, I was thinking about a niece of ours on my wife's side. She learned some information that changed her life completely, the plans she had. This might happen to you today, too. It could happen. Anyway, she graduated from high school, and they had a graduation party, and she was planning to go into the Air Force, got inducted in, was going through basic training. Then she got kicked out. They realized she was flat-footed. She was going to go through Air Force, use that to get into nursing training and everything else, and it just kind of put a whole different aspect on her life, changed her life. One piece of information can do that to you. We trust that might even happen to someone here today. You might get some information, learn something, a revelation that might change the whole rest of your life. Amen. So now that you've been sitting briefly, why don't we stand? Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. It may take a while as we get through the message today before you realize the importance of these verses, but I want to read them first. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And Lord, may you bless the reading of your word. You may be seated. Now that Christmas is over, what do we do? Yeah. If you want to show the next slide, Brother Mike, how I feel the day after Christmas, deflated. Have you ever been there? I was kind of feeling this way even on Christmas Day near the evening. We had a good meal, we'd open gifts. And I was sitting in the lazy chair and just kind of feeling, well, I'm feeling a little down now after all of that. You want to go to the next slide, Brother Mike? That's not an uncommon experience, the post-Christmas blues. Have you had that ever? The post-Christmas blues. I was reading a couple of social media posts, and one went this way. The post-Christmas depression already hitting. My Christmas Eve was successful. My Christmas Day has been lovely. Yet as the night starts to wind down, I find myself already shedding a few tears. Even though I have a second Christmas December 29th, and the decor will be up until January 7th. You know, Christmas, especially afterwards, can be a little bit depressing. Some sadness can be there. Another one said, this is such a great point. The anticipation of Christmas, the decorating, the holiday shopping, and the cozying up to my fireplace space heater while watching Christmas movies is how I spend the entire month or month and a half before Christmas. It's kind of a double-edged sword because the excitement of today is what gives us a lot of us the reason to do the comfy things that we love this time of year. But it also makes it so that once that day ends, all the magic falls away with it. The post-Christmas blues. And you're trying to figure out how does Galatians deal with post-Christmas blues? We're going to get there. The Christmas season can have trials. I want to show you something. I'll ask you what you see. What do you see? A black dot. A black dot. You didn't see all the white around the black dot? That's what trials and heartaches and things around Christmas, it seems to get so much more emphasized. We have the black dot around all the brightness and merriness of Christmas. I was thinking, as we got the information about Jerry Richmond and his family, you know, it's like that black dot is there around Christmas. I was thinking about my sister, they lost a child a couple weeks before Christmas. The very day they were putting up their Christmas tree, there was a sad accident, and he was killed. Just yesterday, my wife and I was here in Trotwood at a different church, Assurance Baptist, attending the funeral of a pastor we knew who died before Christmas, and they had to go through the whole Christmas time and then the funeral afterwards. The Christmas blues, the Christmas depression, it can be caused by some very sad things. And not just death, but sometimes there's trials that can cause that black dot around the Christmas time. And it just seems that these things happen other times of the year, but if they happen around Christmas, it just seems to emphasize the sorrow and sadness that much more. I was thinking about one Christmas our family had, about 3 days before Christmas, actually two, my father's house caught fire and burned completely to the ground. We was going to be there the next night. They barely got out in the middle of the night, just in their night clothes. Went down to the motorhome and sat in it and watched the house just burn. And when it was done, what was left standing was the chimney and a refrigerator with a cooked turkey inside. That was all that was left. And of course, when the firemen came and sprayed all the water on it, and that was a cold winter, it froze. And it stayed frozen until about March before anything could be done. In fact, my father had some burns on his feet, and he spent Christmas Day in the hospital. We went and spent a few hours with him. They allowed us to have a special room, and he was able to go there, and we did open a few gifts and spend some time together. But while he was in the hospital, the newspaper got word of it, and the Tribune Review in Pittsburgh, the reporter came, and this is part of what the article that they put in the newspaper, entitled, "Pastor Upbeat Despite Home Loss." The Reverend Chester Heath lost his home and most of his worldly possessions when fire engulfed his residence on Forbes Road just outside of Trafford. But the 63-year-old minister, speaking yesterday from his bed in Pittsburgh West Penn Hospital, said the blaze failed to damage the riches he and his family cherished most. "We still have faith in God and our lives. We have a lot to be thankful for," he said. "You build your life on enduring qualities, and they don't burn," added the pastor at the Free Gospel Church of North Braddock. I was thinking about another Christmas with my family. Now, in my dad's church, they had a tradition of going Christmas caroling on Christmas Eve. We would gather a group of us, church people. We would have a fruit basket. We would go to the shut-ins, and each one would leave the fruit basket and sing a few carols. I always enjoyed that. Sometimes it was snowing, sometimes it was raining, sometimes it was cold, sometimes it was warm, but I always enjoyed the festivity of that. And one Christmas Eve, we had just done that. We went to some parishioners of the church to fellowship a little bit before we got home. We got done with the fellowship probably around midnight. We went out to get to the car, and lo and behold, it had been stolen. Yeah. Now, they did find it later on that morning, about 6 hours later, been damaged. But, you know, just kind of thing, I've got like a big black dot on the white sheet of Christmas. How do you respond to the Christmas blues? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, this is the response I like to have. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now that Christmas is over, what do? We believe that the Christ of Christmas is the Christ of daily living. But how does the Christmas blues tend to happen? Well, a large part of it has to do with the anticipation buildup we have leading up to Christmas. Just think of all the commercial aspects. I mean, I think it used to be like before Thanksgiving, they would start doing the Christmas stuff in the stores and setting up the decorations, the things to buy. I don't know. It seemed like this year, right after Labor Day, they started. I don't know. It seemed like that. But definitely after Halloween, they really put the emphasis on. You got weeks to build up to Christmas time and get all the decorations. They start playing the Christmas music and all that anticipation. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if it's easier to celebrate the birth of a child long ago than to give Thanksgiving to God, a present God. They kind of just skip over Thanksgiving. But even the first Christmas had an anticipation, a buildup. Think back to the announcements that came to people. Start with Zechariah with Jesus' cousin, the birth of John. That was pretty, you know, anticipating and build up some things are going to happen here. And then the angel came to Mary with the news that she's going to have a baby boy, and she's not even married yet. And wow, a lot of anticipation, what's going to happen? And then when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and the baby of Elizabeth jumped in his womb at the presence of the fetus of Jesus. And man, that anticipation, the prophecy that Elizabeth gave. And then think about the journey they were going to take. Going to Bethlehem. Going to have a journey. We're going to go see the relatives. All the anticipation building up. No, we have that too in our Christmas time usually. We have the buildup of Christmas. We have the parties. We have the shopping. Although really that's pretty changed a lot in my life. I mean, I spent about a half hour on a computer and did all my shopping. Amen. As long as they get delivered on time. You have the church activities, you know, different groups have parties, and then we have the special activities of Christmas. And you all have this, all this sensation of something's going to happen. You know, the Christmas spirit. Everybody seems a little jollier. You know, you go by in the Kroger, and there's a Salvation bell ringer there ringing the bell, and some of them could look a little jollier, really. There was one in Troy, they had a couple there that were there several times when I went in and usually tried to give them money, and she was drinking coffee, and I said, can you drink coffee and ring the bell at the same time? That doesn't seem to be legal. And they gave us a little sucker, you know, a little in their bucket. The Christmas spirit. Then you have the excitement of the event, the actual Christmas day. I remember my Christmas as a youngster. Now, when I grew up, I mean, my dad was from New Hampshire, my mother from Maine, and whatever God was thinking, I don't know. But he gave them their first church in Pennsylvania. So guess where our relatives were? Far, far away on Christmas time. So our Christmas was my father, my mother, me, and eventually my two sisters. Then after about 18 years, of my brother. But by that time, I really wasn't there for Christmas, so he doesn't really count. It was just our immediate family. That was Christmas time. But we still had fun, excitement, wake up in the morning, see what's under the tree. Because he didn't put them out till after we had been to bed, Christmas Eve, and he'd put the gifts out. Come on, try to see what's in the box, trying to figure what's going on. And one time we got an air hockey set, not air hockey, a hockey set. You know, one used to slide and Had a little twisty things to turn. That was fun. Play that Christmas Day. One time I got a little racetrack with, you know, electronic speeders that go on a racetrack. Things like that. There was the excitement of the event. Early morning, got the gifts, and then, of course, the food, and then we're playing games as a family. Of course, that's grown quite a bit here after that. Our gatherings are a lot larger than they used to be. But even think about the excitement of the first Christmas. Think about the joy of Joseph and Mary. Even just the birth, their firstborn. Always something special about the firstborn. In fact, our Christmas is a little special here because we had a new one for the first time. Garrick Joshua, little baby, their Christmas. It made it extra special. Not only their firstborn, their first boy. And more than that, he is a miracle baby. Because his birth was really fantastic, the conception of it. And then they had the visitors that came after he was born. A lot of excitement. Think about the joy of the shepherds. The message they had while they were out in the fields at night. It was dark, and all of a sudden it's light, and there's an angel with a message. And then a choir singing. And they got all excited. They were full of joy, wanted to go and find this baby that they were told about, the Messiah that had come. And then actually finding the baby. Maybe that's why he was born in a manger instead of in the house. What if the shepherds came to a house? It'd be hard to all get in and find the baby. Which house is it? Was it an open barn? Maybe they could find it easier. Then the joy of the wise men. Of course, the joy of the wise men was the star. The time Jesus was born, there was a star in the sky that they knew represented that the King of the Jews was born. And they began to pack for a trip. And they got together and started on a journey to Jerusalem. The excitement of a trip, going, a goal, a place to go to. We're going to find the King of the Jews. This is a lot of times of what can lead up to Christmas depression. You have the anticipation of the event, the excitement of the event, but if that does not lead to the third thing, it can quickly lead to a sense of deflation, depression, and sadness. But there is a third thing that can get us out of that type of depression. And this is where Galatians is going to come in. I want to call it the elevation of the mundane. There's so much what happens that brings us a little depression and sadness. We get back to real life. And where did all that excitement and that mystery and the joy go? We're back to the mundane. But God wants to elevate your mundane. Think about the miracle in the mundane. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. In the Christmas story, the miracle was in the power. The angel said to Mary, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son." And when Mary questioned how this could be, since she had no relations with any man, the angel told her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The power of the conception was miraculous. But the process was ordinary. The message of Christmas is that the extraordinary was wrapped in the ordinary. And that is my message to you today. You will overcome the Christmas blues when you realize that the miracle is wrapped in the mundane. Jesus was a miracle baby. But did he seem to be a miracle baby when he came by the way of painful contractions? When the umbilical cord was cut? When he had to be washed from the birthing fluid before he was being wrapped in this swaddling clothes? The miracle was in the mundane. What about the place of birth? The angel brought the announcement of the birth of Jesus to a girl who lived in, where'd she live? Nazareth. Okay. You haven't forgotten that already, have you? She was engaged to marry a man who lived in Nazareth. This man had a small business in Nazareth. But God preordained that the place of birth was to be Bethlehem, which was 80 miles away. What would make Joseph and Mary take an 80-mile trip with a pregnant wife? She was, as Luke records, great with child. I mean, Mary had an obvious baby bump. They would take the trip because the Roman government decided they wanted to take a census for tax purposes. And they said, for this census, everyone has to go to their ancestral hometown to register and to do this. Well, guess where Joseph's family was from? He was a descendant of King David. Bethlehem was his ancestral hometown. A trip of 80 miles. I did a little investigation. A trip of 80 miles. You know how many steps that is? It's about 160,000 steps. If I get 10,000 in a day, I feel good. But 160,000? At walking speed, that's about a trip of 30 hours. Okay. I wonder if Joseph and Mary were thinking that this government law, this we have to go to our ancestral hometown, is part of God's plan. I wonder if after 100,000 steps, did they rejoice because they're on the way to the place of a miracle? The birthplace was God ordained, but the trip there was common and tiresome. The miracle was in the mundane. What did the actors of the first Christmas do after it was over? Well, the shepherds went back to the familiar. They went back to watching the sheep. But on the way, they were glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard. You know, when you have seen Christ, the mundane is elevated. You will not be the same. The wise men, what they do after the birth of Jesus? Well, they're still on their journey. They continued along the daily trials of a long journey. They had seen the star that indicated to them that the King of the Jews was born, and they'd headed to Jerusalem to worship him. They continued their familiar routine of their journey. They would not stop in the mundane until they had reached their goal, until they had reached Christ. What about Joseph and Mary? What did they do after Christmas is over? Joseph and Mary followed the normal Jewish pattern. On the eighth day after he was born, he was circumcised. And actually, then it was given the name that the angel said to give him. That's when they named their children at 8 days, given the name Jesus. About 40 days after the birth, Jesus was taken to the temple to be presented to the Lord, and the required sacrifice was made. And for the next 12 years, Jesus, the God-man, was hidden in the generic Jewish little boy culture. The miracle baby grows hidden in the mundane. If music would like to come. You know, now that Christmas is over, what are you going to do when you have to return to the mundane? Maybe you've already been there. Maybe some of you have been back to work. I guess probably the children haven't been back to school yet, but they'll be going back to school. What are you going to do when you have to return to the mundane? I tell you today that Christ was born to elevate your daily life. Whether at school or in the job Work as if Jesus is your boss. You know, people have a wrong impression of self-employed people. I have my own business, home improvement. Say, yeah, your own boss. No, I got 100 bosses. Every customer is a boss. But you know who my real boss is? Every time I go into a person's house, I'm working for them, but I'm doing it unto the Lord. Do my best. Treat people right. Be a witness. In fact, I had one of my customers say to me, he's dead now, but he said, you're a good man. I felt kind of weird about that, but I knew what he meant. He's seen the witness of my life. In your worship, see the substance behind the symbols. When you come to church, you look at that cross. What do you see? Is it just a piece of wood? Or is there a substance behind that cross that's meaningful to your life? When you get out your Bible, is it just a book? Or is there a substance behind it when you read it? Is it life-giving to you? In your relationships, see the person you were relating to as one whom Christ loves. Some people, when you look at them, you wonder. You go into a store, you want to go to the fast food, and they got a person there that's all covered with body art, tattoos, got a ring on their nose. And really, you think, really? But that's the person Jesus loves. Maybe you have a member of your family that's, you know, that one that's hard to get along with. And really, you don't want to spend time with them, but they're a person Jesus loves. In our relationship, let's see the person as one who Jesus loves. But not only was Christ born to elevate your daily life, he was born to elevate your spiritual life. As Galatians says, he was born to redeem those that are a slave to sin. He was born to adopt those that are redeemed. He was born to call them children, those who are adopted. And I like this last one. He is born to grant as heirs those who are his children. We're heirs of God. We have an inheritance to look forward to, as well as a good spiritual life now. Father, we are at this time of the year when it is after Christmas. And God, we're in that period of time where all the excitement and the anticipation has come and gone. We're back now to daily life. But God, you are there. Just as you were the miracle baby on Christmas Day, you're the miracle Savior in our life today. You know, I wonder, there may be someone here tonight or today, this morning, that you don't see anything special in your daily living. It has no meaning, no significance. Sometimes you can really feel sad and depressed about your life. That can be elevated. Your life can be given meaning. And I hope that you would come forward and pray and have other people pray with you, and you will find that that is true. Father, let us have an inspiration today that will set us on a new path in our life, realizing that the miracle is in the mundane. Would you like to stand and come forward, and let's pray and see if we can't find that to be true in our lives. Amen.
Gentle shepherd, come and lead us. say today, there's no
can't turn.